new stuff. So here we are. We're back. The world's politics and economics made a big correction in 9/11. Okay. That's when the world changed. We've basically been under, you know, 9/11 is a big farce. I mean, I've studied it inside out, upside down. There was so much crazy stuff associated with that. So basically, they got away with it, and the world's impacted and influenced and impressed by what happened. It changed who we are. The PNAC, People for a New American Century, intended it that way. They wanted to increase military or a police state. Essentially, they wanted to start the momentum towards a police state, martial law per se. And guess what? We've got a hardcore police state going now, don't we? We've got technology increasing where you're being, you know, more and more surveilled and watched. I think the thing that kind of blows my mind once in a while, I get a kick out of, is people that really don't do anything that thinks the government would care to surveil them. If you're not causing them any friction, if you're not out speaking or you're not, you know, giving to certain political charities or whatever, if you're not doing anything to affect them, they're not worried about you. People worry when they buy metals that the government's going to know. And, you know, we don't provide any records at all. They are absolutely, completely and totally private. They're purged immediately. Names are lost and dropped and whatever. So you don't have to worry about that. But anyway, the central bank controls everything. They've got the desire. Ultimately, their design by John Maynard Keynes is, as he called it, the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail. Their design is, whether you like it or not, to confiscate the wealth of all the people on earth. It sounds crazy, but they do. You don't think they do it? The Federal Reserve owns all the collateral of all the loans in the United States. They make in net profit, hundreds of billions of dollars a year. You know, you start doing the math on that. It takes a certain number of years and you've made trillions, and you start doing that for you know, multiples of those years, and you eventually become the richest entity on planet Earth. They're rich to a level you and I could never even begin to comprehend. And so we basically, and what's really ironic is when you get to that level, the Federal Reserve secures all of their wealth in hard assets. They get their wealth out of their own fiat currency. They don't hold their wealth in fiat currency. They churn it, turn it, and burn it, but ultimately it ends up in the form of hard assets, precious metals-based assets, primarily, of course, a lot of real estate, and I'm sure $100 million yachts and things like that. But in general, they keep it in gold and silver-based assets and old coins and things like that. And so it's important. I always think of myself as I'm like, okay, who do you copy? Who do you mimic? People say, oh, I'll copy, you know, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett's a financial advisor. The Federal Reserve Bank is the money maker. So if the Federal Reserve Bank is holding gold, hard assets, liquid precious metals-based assets, and rare coins, I'm going to do that. Now, Warren Buffett, he trades stocks and bonds, and he's got a huge jet company, NetJets, and things like that. But he doesn't accumulate protective measures. He trades in things at such a high volume that his name's gotten out there so big that his investment firm is over the top phenomenal. So you just have to ask yourself, are your assets and wealth properly preserved for the future of financial uncertainty? And I was listening today to this Charles Gasparino, this big expert, and a gal asked him, well, what about the stock market? She said, it's looking kind of like a bubble to me again. Does this remind you of a bubble? Well, here was his response to me, which was foolish. He said, no, it's not a bubble because, he said, if you go back to the market collapse of 08, then he goes in and he explains the mortgage crisis. He says, oh, you know, there was all these mortgages that were secured and rated improperly, and all the banks were hanging out. And he says, so now the mortgages aren't like that, so no, it's not a bubble. Well, interestingly, his reasoning was completely skewed and flawed to get to his conclusion, but the average person wouldn't even know what he said. So he's saying, she's saying, could this be another bubble that's going to blow? And he goes, no, it doesn't look like the mortgage crisis of 08, so no. That's not what she asked. Of course, the mortgages are cleaned up. They all got foreclosed on, okay? They got mopped up. Then she went on and asked, what about our credit card debt? She says, isn't that really high? And he goes, well, yeah, you know, it's definitely high. And she says, well, isn't it the highest it's ever been by a landslide and growing faster than ever? And he's like, well, yeah, but, you know, he says, this is crazy. He goes, yeah, but it's not near as high risk of paper as the mortgages were. He says, you know, the mortgages weren't secured properly and they were rating them wrong. He goes, I don't think they're doing that with the credit cards. And I'm like, what? Credit cards are secured by nothing. Credit cards are a signature note. They're unsecured debt. And really, folks, so are student loans. Student loans are secured by nothing. And the student loans are into the trillions now. Credit card debt's into the trillions and trillions of dollars. I mean, people's debt load in this nation is just baffling. Okay, so here we go again. When you have a stock market that is booming up, and alongside of that, you have debt exploding. What is going on? So you have debt on one hand and hypothetical assets on the other. That's insolvency, okay? When I was in banking and whatever, they use what they call a financial sheet, a balance sheet. A balance sheet is simple. On one side, you have your assets, and on the other side, your liabilities or vice versa. Okay, well, your liabilities are debts you owe. Your assets are obvious. They're debts you own. People tend to exaggerate the value of the debts they own up, and they exaggerate the value of the assets they own up, and they exaggerate the value of the debts they owe down. But a balance sheet says, okay, over here I have an asset and over here I have a debt, and it washes out. So if we've got a stock market growing, but we've got credit card debt and consumer debt and student loan debt and even mortgage debt rising at a far, far, far faster pace than any of our stock market indices, we're heading again for disaster. It is inevitable. The amount of credit card debt in America is just over the top. You know, how much debt do Americans hold? I mean, people don't even realize the amount of credit card debt per household. There's people that don't even, really use a lot of debt. The average debt in it per person in America, per person, I'm looking here, is $16,425. Think of that. The average credit card debt per person in America is $16,000. Now, you and I both know there's a lot of people that don't have debt, so that adds to those that do. Usually, the rule's about a 5-to-1, okay? You got about five people, one out of every five that's carrying the big stuff. So if you multiply that times five and figure one out of five, that's $80,000 in credit card debt per, you know, aggressive credit card user. I can't even fathom. I don't even know how that works, but apparently they'll do that. Mortgages, same thing. The average mortgage per household. Okay, now this is not per people that even have a mortgage, but if you just break everybody down in the U.S., it's $180,000 per couple. Well, a lot of couples don't have mortgages, right? So if one doesn't, one does, that takes the 180 to 360, right? So obviously the mortgage debt's extraordinarily high. Auto loans per person in the United States, $29,000. Student loans per student. Average $51,000 average per person that graduates from college. That means like when my kids graduate with no debt, somebody else has to have double the debt to bring the statistical average up on theirs. So, and then they say mixed debt, any other type of debt, it's $155,000. This is, I mean, I whatever. You get the point. It's nuts. It's nuts and it's nuts and it's nuts. It's over the top. It's bad. It's trouble. It can't hold on. The nominal income versus cost of living from 03 to 16 is a very interesting chart. The household income has been slowly dropping below the cost of living. Clear back since 03. There was a quick little switch over back around 07, 08, where, you know, things were different. But overall, people, the cost of living is outperforming the average wage. Now, you've got to remember, when they calculate the cost of living, they're using the Consumer Price Index, which I explained last week at the end of the show. The Consumer Price Index that is used by our government to calculate and report inflation figures is an exclusionary index, which means that it does not include food, transportation, real estate, or energy costs. So those excluded items, food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs, are what the average American consumer spends 85% of their disposable income on. Okay? Think about that. What you live on isn't considered, what it costs you to live and exist is not considered in the calculation of inflation for the United States. There's a good reason for that, because they want you to feel good so they don't have to give big raises and say, wow, look at the inflation. People respond better by not knowing. And the fact that they have to keep interest rates low, because now we've got so much debt, if they rose the rates up to where they should be, you'd see an explosion of financial collapse like you've never could even imagine. Those excluded expenses are what, you know, 85% of what we spend. A simple calculation of inflation rates derived from the excluded items since 9/11 of 01, which is a long time, shows a growth rate of 8 to 12% year over year in those items, okay? So what's really going on, that's, you know, which is about 5+ times what our government, what, you know, statistics that our government's continuously peddling us. So what's going on is people are becoming broke. They're working themselves broke, and you need to understand that. So if you look at inflation adjusted household income, everything, it's dropping. Education costs, student loan growth, skyrocketing, right? I mean, no brainer. It just keeps going on. Balances on credit cards and total debt is just up, 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 up. And of course they explode around Christmas time every year. No shocker there. But I mean, if you saw the increase in this stuff that I'm looking at, by the trillions and trillions of dollars just over the last few years, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. Revolving credit card debt is just out of control. Okay. The interest rate that people pay on their credit cards based on income is also, or the interest that they pay is unbelievable. I mean, we pay a lot of interest. By different professions, obviously, are smarter, but you'd be surprised. The medical industry loves debt. Looking at these graphs and charts, they're very deeply indebted and they're very into it. And there's a lot more information there that I'll leave behind. So anyway, you get my point. The debt, we are facing a bubble, whether we like it or not. We are facing a bubble, and it won't last forever. Nothing ever does. Things go crazy in September. I don't know if a war is coming. I just don't know. But I know that things are kind of nuts. So let's pound through some of these concepts and get to some new ones. So we've got precious metals we're going to say, whenever I say gold or precious metals, I'm talking about the entire sector. So precious metals-based assets have remained the pinnacle form of wealth in every civilized society since written human history. And a lot of people always think about coming in and buying gold. No, we balance you out. I mean, I've got friends and stuff that I spoke to one the other day, and he bought a bunch of stuff for me over the last 5 years. And he's like, oh, I see gold and silver's down. I'm probably losing money. I'm like, no, actually you're not, because we balance your portfolio out. We got you in some numismatic and semi-numismatic. You're actually doing really well on your portfolio. And I told him to come in and told him we could take a look at it and talk about it. It's just important that you let us balance you out. You're going to get the benefit of all the markets, but it's important to be balanced. And people that invest just for Armageddon, I don't think are necessarily being the wisest people out there. And I think, in a way, that's kind of what Solomon was saying in that scripture that I was reading a little bit earlier, where he said, okay, let's see. It's good that you grasp one thing and also not let go of the other. For the one who fears God comes forth with both of them. Okay, so think about what I'm saying. Okay, so let's say you understand the dire consequences that we are in as a nation, both spiritually, morally, physically, right? Okay, what he's saying, it's okay that you understand that we're facing dire consequences, that we're facing trouble. When you study prophecy, that you understand that we are living, literally, apparently living in many, you know, right up to the times discussed in the Bible as end times. I mean, there's no doubt in so many ways. But he's saying, okay, good, you grasp that. That's really good. But don't let go of your sanity, okay? He says the one who fears God comes forth with both. So he's basically saying, okay, good, you understand that you need to invest wisely to secure yourself against imminent danger. Okay, but he's saying, don't just panic and freak out and lose control of yourself. Don't be unbalanced. So what we want you to do is say, okay, well, obviously that's the case. However, we can know the if, but not know the when. And that's where we're at right now. We know something's coming. We know. We just don't know when, right? So I think it's important that you invest and save your money in a wise, balanced way. If you're making money hand over fist in the stock markets, you're probably looking, and then you think the way you track our market is to look up gold and silver prices every day. No, not necessarily. I mean, there's so much more to what we do and to the portfolios that we build. I can tell you that in general, the vast majority of the profits that I've earned as an individual investor slash collector have not been in bullion. They've been in good quality numismatic coins that are an awesome, compact, liquid, hard asset that goes up over time. And it's really hard to understand maybe if you're not into that, but it's no different than good waterfront real estate. It doesn't matter if the economy is good or the economy is bad. Real estate on Lake Coeur d'Alene or Lake Tahoe is always desirable, right? It might get more expensive and more desirable during good times, but it doesn't change the fact that it's good. It's good to have. So the portfolios that we build are good to have. It's just good, solid, smart, wise assets. And I was talking to a good friend customer the other day about the 90s, and I'm like, in fact, I was talking to a guy who's, as far as I'm concerned, he's won like a lifetime achievement award in our industry. He's had the largest impact on Morgan Silver Dollars ever. He's the unbelievable godfather of, you know, the Morgan Dollar industry. And we were talking about, this is the 90s again. This is the buying opportunity. This is the best time to be gathering and gaining, and you can get such good product at such a great price. Coins are just down. They're just soft, but they're packed down dirt. You know, I call it packing down the dirt. They're a great value. That's the time that, in my opinion, you really want to get in. So those kind of assets, they've always remained the pinnacle form of wealth in every single civilized society. Civilized is the key word. I know there's probably crazy tribes that haven't really been into gold, but any major civilized society throughout all of history has respected the precious metals-based assets, right? And collectibles. God made you to desire value and worth and wealth and quality. You're made that way. You can't change it. All hell breaking loose is not going to change the way God made you. You're always going to desire good quality stuff. You're always going to desire beauty, rarity, value, wealth. It's part of what we've been created in His image, I suppose. I'm not sure, but it's definitely there. So precious metals are not really an investment. There's no real risk of loss. Where when you invest, you speculate. You can literally lose your money tomorrow with metals. Not only have they lasted, they will last. The Bible tells us that clear to the very end, when people will cast their gold and silver in the streets because it won't buy salvation, but it did buy everything else up until that point. It was good enough for Christ when he got on earth. Second chapter of Genesis tells us it's good in the Hebrew way, and so on and so forth. I think you get my point. Precious metals are real money, the precious metals-based assets. Money is based on gold and silver. It's not what we're carrying around today. Having stocks and bonds and all that, it's not money. It's basically, it's a casino chip. When you go to a casino, you buy a chip, and then you sit down at the table. What's crazy is you give them your money first, then you get a casino chip or chips, and then you sit down and play, and you fight to get your money back, don't you? Well, this is the same thing you do when you invest. You take your hard-earned wealth, your true assets, your work value or whatever you want to call it, and you give it to a stock broker or a company. They're called broker for a reason. And then you hope to get it back. You give them this. You actually want to get this big gain. Well, what do you do in Vegas? Oh, you want to hope to double your money, right? You want to hit the jackpot, or you want to have a bunch of good blackjack hands. You want to win money. This is the same attitude that brings you to the stock market. Do you think that that is the mindset God wants us to have? To go buy a bunch of quote-unquote investments, which is a misnomer, in hopes of getting casino lucky? Because isn't that what you want when you buy a stock? You're like, I hope I get lucky. I hope this stock doubles. You have no reason to assume it should. You have no, no basic facts and evidence to say it will. You don't have the parameters. You just don't have it, but it's there. You really want it bad. That's it. That's the wrong desire. You want to preserve and protect what you've earned in hard, firm, timeless assets. You just want to preserve and protect your spending power. That's how you will gain true wealth over time. Not by speculating and gambling and rolling your dice. Trust me, we've all done it. I've been there myself. I've done some stupid stuff. Doesn't make it okay. I've got the wisdom. Listen to me. Trust me, I've made the mistakes myself. The government and world banks have manipulated, markets for quite a few years, but they can't manipulate truth. You can never change the truth. They can change the appearance of the truth, and doesn't the media specialize that in big time? Fake news and deception. But it doesn't change the truth, does it? No. So our dollar, as I've said recently, lost 99.5% of its spending power from 1913 to 2013, and worse since then, right? I explained $100 in 1913 was $20,000 in 2011. The average home sales price has gone up 226 times to 22,600% from an average of $1,168 in 1913 to almost $300,000 nationwide in 2016. Since the abandonment of our gold standard in 1971, precious metals alone have increased in value over 4,000%. The short-term precious metal spike of the 80s under the Hunt brothers, I always have to say this, was just an absolute anomaly. They were trying to work a system that was built right, just never expected to have multi-billionaires able to behave in the same way as central banks. They shut them down with cease and desist. They bullied them. It was a bad situation, and it was over. It wasn't generally driven by the will of the people. It was driven by the will of one corporation. So I discussed a minute ago the Consumer's Price Index. The Consumer Price Index is an artificial index. It excludes food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. They show us inflation in the 2-point-some percent range. All indications are that it's in the 10% range for quite some time. Precious metals-based assets have never lost their value or become worthless. They are timelessly valuable. Once you're gold loaded, you're gold secure. Once you're secure with hard assets, precious metals-based assets, you're secure. Enjoy it. Stay that way. Respect it. Honor it. It's God's word. It's the way of the world that he created. Live by his rules. Just because man comes up with incredible concoctions, you know, carnivals and casinos, doesn't mean it's okay. Just because everybody is at the casino gambling all their money doesn't mean it's okay. Just because your employer says, hey, we like to put our 401ks on blackjack. And you're like, well, if everyone's putting their 401k on blackjack, then put mine on blackjack too. That doesn't make any sense. There's times you're going to have to stand out and be alone. And the last thing you want to do if your stockbroker's a blackjack dealer is try to get your stockbroker to agree that blackjack's bad because that's how he makes his living. Well, that's what happens with stockbrokers. All these people I see try to convince their broker that why they need hard assets. They're not going to do it. That's how they make their money. When your money just sits there, they get a residual income. So they're not going to encourage you to leave. Precious metals-based assets have maintained their spending power for many thousands of years. If you take an ounce of gold and you go back through history, and I won't do it, but people use the suit and two ties and a nice pair of shoes and, you know, there's all these different things of what you can buy with a certain amount of gold that's remained static over time. That's because it maintains spending power. Inflation is very deceptive, okay? It consumes, constantly consumes your wealth. And that's why you need a growing portfolio all the time to keep up with that, because you basically just need to maintain your spending power. If you save over time that way, you know, you'll do very, very well, because that's what that knocks you up into the one percentile minimum, because other people's investments just don't do that. I've been around the block. Paper investments stink. They just do. They don't do well. People get good spikes and stuff, and then you just wait another quarter and down it goes, and or the stockbroker moves it around, or mutual fund companies sell it and you get capital gains and so on. So, you know, they've maintained spending power for many thousands of years. The amount of above-ground gold, which to me is kind of a divine plan, as more people get on the earth and our technology for mining improves, no matter what happens through history, the amount of above-ground gold and silver has remained relatively static throughout human history. And it's like I think it's about 5.5 ounces of silver and about a quarter ounce of gold, roughly, for every man, woman, and child on earth. It's just remained that way. You say, how did you know thousands of years ago? Well, even at the time of Solomon, they had ledgers and logs of exactly how much gold and silver was floating around. And there's all kinds of mathematical ways to calculate from that, but they know what was there. That was the hugest accumulation in the history of the world before or since, and it still explains where they got it and how they got it. And so the amount of it remains very static. What's changing now is the amount of it is dropping rapidly because there's a shortage. The reserves are running out. So people and banks in general buy these huge short futures contracts. They're trying to hedge the market down and keep the price suppressed. They leverage futures with reserve, which means if I buy a futures contract on 1 million ounces of silver and it's not doing what I want, I can take delivery of the silver by, you know, putting a request in and paying the difference. Okay. But that's called taking delivery or calling it in. If people call it in, it's over. That's when I know we're going to see a skyrocket like you've never seen, I mean, in history at all. So what do we got? We're back to where we were. Precious metals. The dollar is truly, it's losing, it's lost a lot of favor globally since 9/11. I mean, there's no question about that, right? We know the dollar has lost favor globally. And the UN, IMF, OPEC, China, Russia, the European Union have demanded a new dollar-free one-world currency. And so we're always faced with that kind of awkward pressure. But precious metals-based assets are always universally recognized and accepted anytime, anywhere. As I said, they're a universal language. They're private, anonymous, transportable, and immediately liquid anywhere and anytime globally. They're, you know, it's like having transportable real estate, and they offer the only form of truly personal secure wealth that's yours to in your hands that you can literally take with you. What else can you do that with? What else can you literally store in a safe? And if you have to go, you can pack it up and it's very compact and away you go. You say cash. Well, what if cash becomes nullified? But metals never have and never will. The Bible tells us that. Same with the hard assets. They are liquid, folks. They are liquid at a level you may not comprehend, but they are liquid. Anytime, anywhere. I don't care if you're in Dubai or Hong Kong or Singapore or, you know, Kenya. They are liquid. South America, Central America. Our Federal Reserve System, okay, is a false replacement currency system. It does create money from thin air. Just because it appears to be all right, it's like a company that runs off of the work energy of all citizens. Of course, it continues on because it is funded by our slave labor. In fact, we pay out so much taxes. And it says when it Revelation 18, that when Mystery Babylon goes, it says they traded in all these cargoes. The last thing it says is the bodies and souls of men. People are like, what are you talking about? We're born into debt. We're born owing money. We're born into bondage in this nation. You can't live free in this nation. We have property taxes, income taxes. We've got all kinds. We don't have, you know, it's not easy to even just live off the land. You just can't do it. We've got some harsher climates and, you know, whatever. This country is not designed to live off the land. This country is designed to plug into the system, get a job, make bare minimum wages that you can hardly live on. I can't even believe, I don't understand how people live on minimum wage. It's brutal. It's tough. I mean, I know you can enjoy life in any situation, but wow, my heart goes out to you, okay? So that's probably a good stopping point. So basically, folks, I think the markets are good to buy. It's a good time to invest in hard asset, precious metals-based assets. It's a very, very good time, great value, exceptional inventory and selection. We always help you do it anyway. So give us a call, Coins Plus, you know the number, 444-0044 in Spokane. Thanks for tuning in. The website's always got the radio shows. This one will be chopped up. So again, take care, God bless, and we'll be back on Friday. Bye-bye.